Henry Reinga and Steve Elzinger back. Today we're going to talk about worldview.
Worldview. And what's interesting is a lot of universities or colleges that you might attend, they just won't tell you what their worldview is. Maybe it's a materialistic worldview, maybe it's some other religion or some other, you know, some philosophy of life, and they just don't tell you what it is.
Right.
So we thought
we should.
Well,
and both of us are philosophy people.
Right.
And we also, Dr. Roy Clouser, a famous philosopher who is one of our teachers here, he says that everybody has a worldview.
Right.
There are belief systems that operate, and we think you should know what Christian Leaders College
right.
and Institute is all about.
Right. So where are we going to start here, Henry?
Well, first start with God is the creator.
Right.
And he made all things. And good learning, Dr. Roy Clouser, this is his term, says that God's creation is irresistibly self-evident. So when we study, first of all, we see that he has revealed himself in God's creation.
And that's what Romans 1 verse 20 says. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse.
One of the things that Dr. Clouser talks about is that, okay, so how do we know there's a sun? How do we know there's night and day? Well, if it's day, there's this like hot thing in the sky. Okay? But I can tell you, no, I think it's night. No, it's not night, it's day. Well, how come? Well, there's this hot thing in the sky and it's warm, and it basically, you can get a sunburn. Now, I could resist the truth of daytime constantly, but it would be irresistibly self-evident that God has revealed that there is day and there is sun. Now, this is so important because a lot of philosophy today are questioning everything mm-hmm. out there.
Yeah.
You know, male, female, this, that, everything mm-hmm. in what's not Dr. Clouser talks about is that God has revealed it. Not only is it self-evident, but so much of this is irresistibly self-evident.
Right. So when you see creation, you see the beauty, the wonder, and well, some would say, well, it just happened.
Right.
That there's some mechanistic thing that happened in the universe, or Big Bang, or whatever
right.
it might be. There's different philosophies of it. And, you know, there's evidence of this and evidence of that. But the world coming into existence.
Yes.
It, for one thing, you know, people, scientists can't explain why there's a world at all.
Right.
Why yeah. there was anything to Big Bang about in the first place.
Right.
That where did this material come from?
Right.
And if it always existed, how did we get to this moment? If you can go forever into the past,
right.
how would you ever get to this moment? We can't explain that. We can't explain time. We can't explain space. Like, does it go on forever and ever? And if it doesn't, is there like a wall that says, this is now the end of the universe? Well, what's on the other side of the wall?
Right, right.
So all the basic things, you know, the basic questions of life, we really can't explain it all unless there's some kind of intelligent something that created it. So that's what we believe
right.
at Christian Leaders Institute and College.
And in historic theology terminology, we're going to give you a little of these like academic literacy words.
Right.
There's this thing called general revelation. The book of creation is to be read with curiosity and careful investigation. So we love science. We
yeah.
love algebra. We love all
astronomy.
Of these things. Astronomy. We love it all because God's book of creation is before us.
Right. So Christians are not grumpy against science and study.
No.
We Welcome. The more we study about everything around us, the more we are going to know about God. That's right. Our starting point.
Right. We see the finger, the handwriting, the fingerprint of God everywhere.
Right. And Christians have a positive attitude.
Right. Right. We want to learn more.
We also have a belief that there is more than what we can observe with science.
So explain that a little bit, Steve, and how you would understand that.
Well, what we observe. We've always been wrong by what we observe. Right? I mean, I don't know. Do you have a pencil or something around here? Yeah, here's a pen. Let me show you something that you can observe.
Okay, all right. Very good.
So here it is. Is that... Just hold that pen. Is that a regular pen?
Is it a regular
hard
pen?
Pen?
Yes, stiff and hard.
Okay. So now I want you to watch very carefully. Look at it. Does it look like it's bending? Look at it. It's wobbling.
Yeah, right.
How? So what you're observing is this bending thing, like it's actually bending, but it's not bending.
Right.
It's an optical illusion. In other words, what you see is not reality.
Right.
So often there's, you know, things like, you know, science comes up with theories to try to explain what happens.
Right.
But often they come up with a theory that they can't really see.
Right.
So before there were before we could see atoms, they came up with this theory about stuff, and they go, does this seem to fit?
Right.
And they go, well, right now it seems to fit until we find something better.
Right.
At one time, scientists thought that the sun was the center of the universe.
Right.
And then they made models that made that fit. And then
right.
at some point, no, I guess that's not true. Actually, the Earth goes around the sun. So, and then they came up with models that made that fit. So there's more than what we can see. And all the basic hard questions of life, where did it all come from? You know, what is time? Does time go on forever? How does time go on forever? Those things you can't grab hold of, you can't see.
Right. And though God is everywhere, in the end, we can't totally figure it out, but we see the incredible design to everything.
Right.
Even if we can't figure out in science and all this, so we are positive in science. We're positive on the journey of discovery.
Right. And we believe that in the natural world, God reveals himself.
Yes.
That's why we call it general
revelation.
God is revealing himself so we can learn from anything this world has to offer.
So what are some examples of that? Well, here's one to think about. So humans. The Bible talks like this, Psalm 139, 13 and 14. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And back to Dr. Clouser's term, it's irresistibly self-evident that the human is a creation, a masterpiece of the living God.
Yes.
With 4 trillion synapses in a brain,
right.
able to
right.
do all of these things. It's
yeah.
like as clear as level, general revelation. Right. And we may not have figured it all out, but it is all there.
Right.
That's pretty amazing.
2 Timothy 3:14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
So we know that God revealed, he created the world. We can read about that in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And yet, there's something not complete about
right.
general revelation.
Right. We can learn about God with what we see, but we don't know specifically his character or what his goal in life is or
yeah.
what his purpose is or why he created us.
So, right.
So we learn a lot about God in general revelation out there in the world.
Right.
But God teaches us specifically who he is and what he's up to and what's going on, explaining what's going on in this world through what we call special revelation, which is the Bible.
So biblical revelation. So there's general revelation in terminology. We didn't write that down here, but there's special revelation, which is the Bible. God, in a very special way, through a period of thousands of years, inspiring men to write down revelation, as John Calvin, a lens by which we can interpret all of life. A love letter, other theologians have said, a relational book of connecting the God of the universe with you and me.
So, now what that book tells us, and I suppose general revelation tells us too, is that there's something not quite right. There's something beautiful about the world.
Right.
Human beings, everything.
Right.
And in special revelation, the Word of God, we read that God created it. He provided a perfect environment.
Right.
Everything was great. Adam and Eve, there were fruit trees.
Right.
They had no needs. Everything was great.
Yeah.
And then something went wrong. And by the way, it's interesting that every movie that's ever been made follows this pattern, right? You watch a movie and they have the setting. Oh, it's this and it's nice and something, this is wonderful and here's a family or here's a thing. And then something goes wrong. Within the first 5-10 minutes of the movie, something goes wrong. And then the rest of the movie is about how do we get out of this mess?
So this Genesis chapter 3 about what went wrong. So the special biblical revelation tells us something about all of us that who have ever lived. And you made a point before, even creation, you can see by death and decay and so many things that it's, as Dr. Clauser would say, it's a self-evident truth that something's broken.
That something's broken.
So God has a garden for Adam and Eve, our parents, and they have two trees, the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. Tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And the tempter comes along, the arch enemy of God, a created angel, a powerful angel that falls away, and God allows Satan to tempt Adam and Eve to choose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, to be like God.
Yes. Yes, he it's interesting that in Genesis 3 he comes and he says to Adam and Eve, he says, did God say that you can't eat any of the fruit of any of the trees in the garden?
Right.
Which is insane, right? That's ludicrous. That's a total exaggeration.
Right.
So, and then Eve says, of course we can eat the fruits of the tree. You know, we're just not allowed to eat the one in the middle. And then Satan goes, well, let's talk about that one in the middle. Do you know why God is withholding that one?
Disqualifying you from having that one.
Do you know what you're missing? You know what he's trying to withhold you from? You could be like God. So I'm reiterating this because this is still the tactic today.
Yes.
You know, why did Satan come to her and exaggerate?
Right.
Because exaggeration gets your attention.
Yes.
So in our world today, when you see headlines and Facebook feeds, and everything is exaggerated.
Yeah.
Everything is to the extreme. Everything is sensational. Why? It grabs your attention. That's all the devil was doing. Let me get your attention.
Right.
Once I have your attention, now I can manipulate you.
Right.
And that's the sin-filled world that we see. A world that gets manipulated.
You know, it's fascinating to think about this, that all of us, if we were put in a garden, when God allowed Adam and Eve, God did not create robots programmed to automatically run to the tree of life. He made image bearers free to choose life or not to choose the tree of life.
Right. A lot of people wonder, well, why did he put this tree in the middle of the garden in the first place?
Right.
And notice it was in the middle.
Yeah.
Of the garden. In other words, when Adam and Eve got up in the morning, had their breakfast, and then they went off to work, you know, pruning trees and so on, guess what they had to do? They walked past the tree.
Yes.
And then at night, at noon, when they came back for a little nap or something, they had to walk past it. Everything that did is like, and God was sort of saying, do you want to follow me or don't
right.
you want to follow
right.
me?
Right, right.
Because if you want to follow me, I want it to be your choice.
Right.
Not because you didn't have any other option.
Right.
So God gives them a choice. And they fall into sin. Now, part of it we don't understand. When you have everything, you're living in paradise,
right.
why would you fall for anything?
You know, my wife and I were doing devotions the other day, and there was this, you know, covetousness, which is idolatry, and we were looking at that from the Apostle Paul, and so we were both talking, well, maybe that's what it was. They didn't really, they were coveting godlikeness.
Yes.
And which then Paul says, which is idolatry.
Right.
You know, so Augustine said his pride. You know, there's various
right.
theologians
well,
who
also
try to analyze that.
I think, you know, in some ways they had everything, but they wanted more.
Yes.
And
yes.
That,
consciousness.
Doesn't that sound like people today?
Yeah.
You can have everything, but you always want
more.
More. So we don't quite understand that, but what we do know,
yes.
Adam and Eve did two things after sin came into the world. They disobeyed God, and they did two specific things.
Well, Genesis 3:17-19. To Adam, he said, because you have listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I've commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through your painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, to dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So this is actually the curse
right.
that was given to humans, and part of that was also a childbearing thing. So it was a huge
yes.
thing.
Yes.
But you were reflecting on something that we didn't put here, and that was that what did they do after they fell?
Yes, they did two specific things.
So, by all means, get your Bible out and let's go back to Genesis.
Because I think it shows you where we're at today. The two same things. What happened after sin came into the world? The first thing that happened is Adam and Eve could no longer look at each other in their nakedness. So they hid
from each other.
Okay. The second thing they did, when God came through the garden, and you know God would walk with them every day,
right.
and they hid from God.
Right.
So the two things they did once sin came into the world is they hid from each other,
yep.
and then when God came around, they hid from God. And we see that as the effects of sin today.
Yep.
The brokenness between people, the brokenness in marriages, the brokenness in families.
The horizontal relation brokenness.
Countries at war, political parties, race situations, so we see the brokenness
yes.
to people. Now, what do people really want? They want closeness. They
right.
want a marriage that
they
works.
Want their garden.
They want families. They want communities.
Right.
But what do we have? Brokenness.
Yeah.
Then there's the relationship to God.
Right.
So we want to be connected to God. We want to be connected to whatever is big and important.
Right.
But where are people? They're hiding from God. They're choosing other gods. They're, you know, when God comes around, they ignore him. They don't want to deal with it. They feel guilty. They're still hiding. And so we see the effects of sin ever since. And then God comes to his people and he says, I'm going to give you 10 commandments. Remember what
right.
those 10
yeah.
were? There's two tables. The first table was love God. In other words, how do you have a relationship with God? The second table of the commandments is how to deal with the people around you.
Right.
Okay, that's what we lost, right? So some people look at Christianity and say it's a bunch of laws and religion. You know, God's laws are really commanding people what they had
yeah.
in the first place,
yeah.
what they want. We want
love
a connection
God.
To God.
Yeah.
We want
connection
good relationships with people.
Right.
And so the very thing that we had, the very thing that we want, we lost mm-hmm. in the fall.
You know, and think about ministry. You're here for ministry training. We are ministers of reconciliation,
right.
Horizontal. We are ministers of reconciliation,
yeah.
The vertical. So we know God created this amazing world,
right.
But we also know that we are fallen people.
Right.
And you see that in Genesis. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But you do not do what is right. Sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So here we are, Steve. We're, you know, fallen creatures, and yet through the grace of God in Jesus Christ, we're ministers of reconciliation.
Right. So with, you know, without this next piece that we're going to look at, we're like stuck. We're in a movie that is nothing but failure and disaster.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you notice that most movies have this salvation piece.
Yes.
The hero has to show up, or against all odds, somebody has to go do something to save the day. And all these movies are just copying the theme that we find right here in the Bible.
Right.
You know, we're you know, through Jesus. It's interesting. You said, you know, the horizontal. We have this brokenness horizontally. We have this brokenness vertically. And then we're called to be ministers to bring, you know,
reconciliation
this way and this way. And if we put those two together.
It's the cross.
What do we get? A cross.
The gospel.
It's the gospel. That's
right.
That's how we get reconciled to God. That's how we get
the
reconciled to the people
from
around
us. Yes.
So we get reconciled with God, and then we can be used as
ministers
to bring reconciliation to people.
Romans 10 verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So this is a point by which we come to the tree of life, Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Right. And the way to that is by acknowledging your fallenness, acknowledging the brokenness with your spouse, with your family, with the people around you, acknowledging that you've been hiding from God, and then bringing that acknowledgement to Jesus, who then takes that and forgives you and presents you before the Father whole and spotless. So we become new people. And then he gives us his Spirit so that we can actually be agents of reconciliation.
Now, I think it's probably appropriate. I mean, we're a ministry trained school. This is Christian Leaders Institute. If you have not acknowledged that you are broken, if you have not confessed your sin to Christ, your dependence on him, don't go into ministry.
Right.
Because you'll be phony.
Right.
And this isn't religion. Some people think, well, Christianity is laws. So we're just going to live laws. But it is the heart.
Right.
If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, you will be saved. And what happens then? You will be mobilized for ministry. But it's not mobilized for ministry. In fact, there's been stories in the Bible where people were doing ministry for false motives, and it destroyed themselves.
Right. And then there's so many of us as, you know, people, ministers who are trying to make a difference. If we haven't accepted the, you know, God's wholeness that he offers to us in our own lives, if I haven't been reconciled to my wife, or if I haven't reconciled to my bad parenting or whatever I've done to my children, then I don't be phony baloney trying to help somebody else's marriage. I'll be, like, lying. I'll be, you know, if I don't even have my own family that I've done what I can and I've tried to live a Christ-like life, if I haven't offered my apologies to, you know, not being the best parent in the world to my own kids, then how in the world am I going to help another family get their act together?
See, that's that horizontal and the vertical.
Right.
So are we right with God?
Right.
Are we right with each other? Have we made amends when we can? And I know that sometimes not everything works out. But you were starting at this point.
Yes.
But we are doing what we can.
Yes.
So right now, I'm going to just offer a little prayer. And for many of the people who start CLI, Steve, it's really interesting. We have a little survey. And many of them are ready to pray that Christ goes into their heart, but they haven't even done it yet.
Right.
So let's have a little prayer. And then if that's you, pray along. Now, if you already are in and you're involved and you've done that before, just pray with me for others at Christian Leaders College and Institute that are coming in.
Yes.
Let us pray. Oh, Lord, we acknowledge even those who already have received you in our heart. We acknowledge that we are sinners. And we acknowledge that we need you as our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
We are broken. The wrath of God ought to be placed on us. But we ask, Lord Jesus, that you come into our heart. If this is the first time, or if we're already with you, that you renew us.
Mm-hmm.
We ask that you fill us with your Holy Spirit. We receive the gospel promise that as sure as you died on the cross to save us from our sin, we receive your salvation. When you look at us, God, in Christ Jesus, you see us as redeemed, renewed, reborn, as some of the metaphors are placed in the Bible, but it's in the heart, Lord. And Lord, we promise that we will live for you. We ask your Holy Spirit to fill us. We are saved. We are renewed. Not in ourselves. We promise to live for you. And when we do ministry, to be a minister that glorifies you in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So really, that's the simple seed. But it changes really everything. And that's what's so exciting is now it's an eternity thing.
Right.
This is like foolishness to the world in many ways.
Right.
Like how one moment in time, one heart changed, now makes this true from Philippians 3, verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven. And now we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you talk about eternity. He has a phrase. Well, you know, in 100 years, it's a small matter.
Right.
Like if we have some trial or something.
Yeah, right.
And, you know,
that we're nervous about.
Yeah. But it is true that eternity is now ours.
Right. And what's interesting to me is even people that don't believe in Christianity, like right now, I watched some Netflix thing about going to Mars and Elon Musk is
part of that. Oh, yeah.
And it's like because our future, our destiny is not on this planet because the sun will burn out one day and then everything will go extinct on this planet. And so if we're going to have humanity live on, we got to get off this planet. And step one is to get to Mars. And so all this whole thing is talking about purpose and vision and the future. And it's acting like there's some future for all of us.
Right.
There's no future for any of us that are alive today.
Right.
And this sense of, well, humanity goes on. Well, that's not you and me.
No.
Whatever humanity is, you and I will be gone. Our atoms will be part of the grass and will eventually part of this earth that freezes over when the earth turns out. So, but people so desperately want to have a forever future.
Yes.
Even the people.
We have love and it's forever.
Yes.
Yeah,
the Titanic movie.
Yeah,
my
yeah.
heart will go on.
On.
You know, forever. You know this. So this whole thing. So then I'm reminded of that verse in the Bible where it says, you know, he has put eternity in the hearts of men.
Ecclesiastes.
And I believe that.
Yeah.
That eternity is put in the heart of men. And that's why people seek out purpose. And I think that's why a lot of our world is depressed.
Right.
And they're trying to find purpose in these temporary things. But everyone knows this is a temporary thing. So at the end of the day, they're kind of discouraged and depressed.
Right. But we eagerly wait our Savior.
Right.
He's coming back.
Right.
We don't have a negative view that, everything. No, He is coming back.
Yeah.
And we don't understand all of what that means, but we have been changed inside. And now we're connected to this eternal God.
Right.
And, you know, we hear in 2 Corinthians that He has deposited the Holy Spirit, that's already a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And I guess that brings implications to our Christian worldview that move us into a new reality. So what are the implications?
You are a new person through the Holy Spirit.
Wow, Galatians 5, verse 22 to 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature. Just like Jesus was crucified, our sinful nature was crucified with His passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. What does that mean to you, Steve?
When I hear all these words, it sounds like purpose to me.
That's good.
Like my life has purpose. If without the eternity peace, we're just faking purpose. And it's hard to sustain fake purpose, right? When you hit an obstacle and you get discouraged, your marriage is falling apart, or family issues, or whatever, struggle or health issues, it's like it takes a hit on you.
Right.
But when you're a new person in Christ that will last forever, what I do today, every person that I meet has eternal significance and eternal consequences. What I'm doing with my children is not just for this time or that they get a successful career and meet somebody and get married. We're talking about my family forever and eternity, and the things I do or things I don't do make an eternal difference, which means every day I get up is important, and there's stuff to do, and it doesn't matter what issues that I'm facing, they all are important. I'm not just, passing time or wasting time.
Well, that brings us the next implication. Now we see things from an eternal, positive perspective.
Right.
2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, for our light momentary troubles are achieving, even the troubles themselves, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all.
Right. So it gives you perseverance.
Yeah.
Right? If you have this eternal perspective, then whatever you're going through today, against the face of eternity, I can do that. I can get through this.
Right.
With what's at stake and what's in store for me, yes, I can do this.
Wow. And then the circle comes right back around.
Become a minister of
reconciliation. High five. really, all of this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. So there's the vertical.
Yeah.
And gave us the ministry of reconciliation, horizontal. That God was reconciling the world, horizontal, to Himself, vertical. Not counting men's sins against us. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation.
That's
a minister.
Minister. That's what a minister is. And you can be, you don't have to be a full-time minister.
Yeah.
You don't have to be an ordained minister.
Right.
You can be a part-time minister.
Right.
You can be a volunteer minister. If you're on this planet and God has called you to make a difference in the lives of the people around you, guess what you are?
Minister.
Minister.
You are a minister. And that is what Christian Leaders College and Institute and Alliance is all about. It's about mobilizing more of you, more ministers.
Yes.
You can look at our doctrinal statements and all of those things that we're going to go further. But really, in the essence of what we're talking about, it's really to be ministers of reconciliation. So now you can get all this training. Okay? So now you are going to be part not just of the role of ministers, but you're getting in the game. or something.
Right.
Okay, this training, you watch what will happen to you. In the next several classes, through the next couple years or months or whatever you're with us, you're going to start seeing that there is a cosmic battle going on.
Mm.
There is, and you have a role for the light. You're the light of the world. So you're going to find so the fourth implication of this is
battle for the truth.
Ooh, I love it.
Which, by the way, every movie that you watch
is about this.
There's some battle going on.
Yeah, there is.
All these things are just copying this story that the Bible reveals.
Right. Isaiah 30, verse 21, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Ephesians 4, verse 15 and 16, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ.
The reason why your decision to step into this educational world is so important is because there is going on today in our world a huge battle.
Yes, there is. There is.
I mean, what's the truth?
We
live right now in what they call the information age. It could maybe be called the misinformation age.
Right.
We have information, but no one knows what is true.
Right.
You can go to the internet and search anything, but you're going to find one story. Really smart people saying this, and then you're going to find other smart people saying the exact opposite, and there you are going,
right?
I don't know.
Right.
From politics to race to country to philosophies to science to it, you can pick any topic you want.
Right.
And where's the truth?
And behind these topics is a worldview that they're not often telling you about, or most times they're not telling you about.
No.
And we want to be transparent. God created the world.
Yes.
He redeemed it in Jesus Christ. And the Bible is the revelation from God, and Jesus Christ is everything.
Right.
And we need the truth. One of the things I love are some of the Bible study tools that you put together, Steve. Here's the book of Acts. Because we need to be ministers who study the Word, help others study the Word, because this is all amazing and real. There's a major warfare. There is light and darkness.
Right.
There's eternity.
Right.
There's the gospel to go over the whole world.
Right now, the truth is being sold.
Yes.
Okay? So, the Bible comes along and says, here's the truth for free.
Yes.
Okay? But the world right now is selling the truth.
Yeah.
Because every feed is generally paid for by somebody who wants to sell you something.
Right.
So do you think they're giving you an unbiased version of something?
No.
Right. They're trying to get you to believe something, go in a certain direction. I watched a movie the other day, and they said, what's going on in our world today? For example, Wikipedia. You know Wikipedia,
right? Yeah, yeah.
So if I go to Wikipedia and I look something up, and you go to Wikipedia and look something up, we're going to read the same thing.
Right.
Okay. Well, what if Wikipedia, you know, had algorithms that when I look up something, it gives me what someone is paying for to get me to believe something.
Right.
And when you look up that same thing, someone else is paying to steer you in a totally direction. And we're looking up the exact same thing.
And they're not telling you the worldview.
Right.
The bias. By which they are, yes.
So that's what's going on in our world right
today. They call that segmentation.
Right. So we're being sold somebody's version of the truth for someone's gain.
Right. Well, it's that Revelations passage toward, I believe it's 19, that and it goes like this. All the merchants of the earth, you know, they're going forward. And then it ends with one phrase, and they're selling the bodies and souls.
Right, and that is exactly what
wow. Right. You know, and so there we are, You know, and we are ministers of reconciliation because we know that something is broken.
Right.
And we want to be part of the gospel of salvation, of hope.
Right. So how do we know in a way that this is the truth? Right? I mean, everyone's saying, you know, this is the way.
Mm-hmm.
Walk in it.
Right.
How do you know that this is the way mm-hmm. that you should walk into it? And this is, you know, if you haven't given your life to Christ,
right,
this is where I would say, taste and see,
right? Walk it.
Walk it and see. If you've never read the Bible, start there.
And study at CLI. You know, let's say I'm not sure, you know, you prayed before, that was good. I don't know if I felt anything. I don't know if I wanted to do it. Fine.
Right.
Take some classes.
Right.
Taste and see.
Taste and see if God is good.
Right.
And, you know, if, you know, we can testify our own experience.
Right.
How God has showed up. You know, God isn't just going to convince you by some logic thing. God is actually going to show up in your life.
Your heart. Your life.
Things will happen. So right now, let's say you're not sure. You're taking these classes. Pay attention because God is going to somehow show up in your life. I don't know how or when or why or what, how it's going to be, but he's going to show up in your life and he's going to reveal himself to you.
But also the devil will. So if you start taking these classes, next thing you know, you're getting nightmares. seriously, we've heard it
right,
all.
Right.
With all this stuff happening, now you may conclude, stop these classes so I can go back to normal. Well, what we're telling you is that you will never go back to normal.
No.
Because you just would have touched the divine because he is for you.
Well, even these struggles are evidence that something's going on.
Oh.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, if the devil shows up in your life, that means there's something going on in you.
Yes. I mean, you now become a target.
Right.
So I tell you, this is an amazing journey, and you know, I'm kind of sad to finish this class. It's been a class that keeps renewing me to just think about my own habits, Steve.
Right.
And my own, like, time management issues. And
right.
That God is in, you know, is God in my schedule, or is my schedule in the will of God? I want my schedule in the will of God.
So in some ways, what I guess we're saying is, you may feel like you're at the beginning of some journey and you've got a long ways to go, but what we're saying is we're on the same journey.
We are.
We're on the same journey with
right.
you. We're all in this together.
Yeah.
That's why we're called the body of Christ.
Right. And you'll enjoy reading our faith statement. It's right there, and you can read in detail the specific theological beliefs that we have, and that will then cover all of the teaching. But we wanted today just to give you that essence that God has revealed himself to us in creation in what they call general revelation. But we have more than that. We have special. We have the Bible who tells us about the truth about our condition and about the condition of humanity. But we also have the solution, the joy of salvation, the Savior, the Renewer. The Holy Spirit's been poured out. We look forward to resurrection. You know, all of that. And we look positively at this earth. And minister? Yeah, that's right. We are all about minister. And we are not minister like, the ministers who are just out there. No. It's like, we are ministers of a new covenant. Of ministers of reconciliation.
Right.
So we're glad that you've joined our brigade.
Yes.
And God has a plan and a purpose, and may he bless you as you take that next step in that journey to be a minister of reconciliation.